Sure, but you are, you know, exposing yourself to a little bit of risk. You're exposing the TO to a little bit of risk. And if there's one thing you don't want, it's me exposing myself. Hello and welcome to JudgeCast. This is episode 317. I'm one of your hosts, Brian Prilliman, and I am joined this evening, afternoon, morning drive to work by the one and only Charles Feather.
Hello, hello.
And the one and only Marco Sanchez.
Hello, everybody.
You know, it's funny, like, so last episode 316, I tried to change the intro and I went way off script. And I just realized that, you know how sometimes if you're like driving to work or something like that, or a trip that you take every day, you just kind of blank out, then like 5 minutes later, you realize that you're where you're supposed to be. That's
Yeah.
kind of what happens when I do the intro. Like I have like this 3 to 5 seconds of just not really existing in my mind. My mouth is moving, but the lights are on, but no one's home. So.
Brian hosting on autopilot.
Yeah, I just said it's sort of like Control Alt Delete on your keyboard is kind of like, yeah, it's three actual keys, but you hit them all at once, so you don't actually think about it. It's kind of that. And then if you make me think about it, I'm like, I can't do this.
My hand doesn't shake this way.
Yeah, I don't actually know the words that I'm saying. I've just said them so often that they just come out.
So what you're saying is you've split into two different timelines. You've
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I was going the approach of, you know, sometimes players also say things without thinking, but splitting's fine too.
Oh my God, that was great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just kept trying to figure out where I can needle it in there.
Yeah.
All
right.
Just get it in. There we go.
So in this episode, while Brian, instead of talking about Brian, you know, blanking out while operating a heavy machinery, we're going to be talking about bribery and the correct good ways, best ways to do top eight splits.
I'm excited.
Yay.
Yay.
This is everybody's favorite topic to talk about, right?
Yes, let's get all pedanticy.
Well, if there's a place to do it, this is kind of the
I got to
place.
tell you, I've gotten this wrong in the past. Just talking about it, and it's because, you know, I didn't sit down and read the MTR on this, because I don't think it's that terribly difficult. It's just one of those things that, you know, we might have impressions about or think work a particular way, and if we don't follow the guidelines that are posted, it's very easy to end up in the weeds.
Yeah, and the rules and guidelines are the rules rather, not guidelines. So the rules are set up to protect the store. They're set up to protect us. They're set up to protect the game, and they're set up to protect the players. Where players start getting into problems is when they start asking questions that are subtly phrased as, "Yeah, I understand I'm not allowed to bribe my opponent, but how can I bribe my opponent?" Yeah, they don't
Yeah,
ask it
they
that
say the quiet thing
blatantly.
out loud.
Yeah, they don't necessarily say it there. It's more like, how can I ensure the result I want? Or is there anything I can offer my opponent? Or what can I say to get my opponent to concede to me? You know, those
How
are all.
exactly can I work this out so I'm not going to break the rules? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what we're going to talk about is how splits work, what judges can do, what you can or can't do to facilitate splits, when it's appropriate to do that, and when is it, and how to stay away from the big B.
The big B.
Yes, the big bribery. I mean,
Oh.
this isn't like you just running in your garden trying to be like, ah, there's a B.
All I was thinking was Arrested Development and somebody just screaming, B! If this was a video podcast, I would have absolutely spliced that in here right now.
Wonderful. All right.
So let's get down to it. Why is this a thing even at all? Like, why do we care about bribery and making sure that we don't offer things?
Well, magic is Okay, I'm going to make a statement, and I'm sure that some super cynical people are going to be like, it's already that. I say, we want magic to be games of magic and tournaments to be decided by who the better player is, not who has the most money. Okay, so the second you are able to influence results by bringing external dollars or whatever the Canadian equivalent of dollars is, I don't know, like jars of maple syrup or something like that.
I think it's duelers.
Is it duelers?
Duelers.
Duelers. It's dollars, but more polite.
Love you, Canadian friends.
Right. As soon as you're able to bring in external dollars into the event and essentially purchase a win, then the game kind of loses all meaning. Like, all of it. Right?
We're no longer basing the result on skill and a small amount of luck. We're basing it on who has the deeper pocket.
Right. And I realize that again, this is the cynical thing. People are going to be like, oh, well, you know, cards cost money, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, and that's why I said they're bringing external dollars into the event. We realize, yes, cards are expensive, but, you know, you can play other cards. Okay, so what else?
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, there are laws in this country for gambling, and we want to make sure that we are not in any way, shape, or form coming close to stepping over the line into an area where law enforcement would be interested in what's happening. Magic is the game of skill, which we've referenced, and we want to make sure that anything that gets too close to an illegal situation, and different countries and different states even have different laws about how to treat gambling and bribery and things of that nature. So we want to make sure that we are completely above board all the time in this regard. And the only way to do that is to make sure that we are stating from the very beginning, you cannot bribe officials, you cannot bribe players, you cannot arrange for a particular outcome by offering some type of reward, support, money, whatever.
So funny story where you say you cannot bribe an official.
I know this story.
Oh, okay. Well, then please tell.
I think I know this story. Okay. For many years, there was no rule about not being able to bribe a judge in Magic, right?
Yep. It's a relatively recent development.
It's actually something that they only put in, I think, in the last 5 to 6 years, maybe even more recently than that.
Yeah, no, it was pre-pandemic, but not much pre-pandemic.
Yeah, I remember the show where you talked about it.
Yeah. All right, so let's go over what the bribery rules are, and then ask the question or start looking at this from a player perspective of, okay, well, if I want to, how can I offer a split for the top eight? What can the judge do to facilitate that kind of stuff? And how close can I get to bribing my opponent without actually bribing? Spoilers, we're not going to help that much. No. Okay. So bribery, huh? Where can I find the rules for bribery? It's not in the CR.
It is not in the CR. You can find that under one of our two golden documents, the Magic Tournament Rules, specifically under section 5.2, bribery. Okay, so when it comes to how we're going to approach this, we are going to borrow from other content creators out there about how reading the documents explains the documents, except when it doesn't, and we need to clarify because it's a dense document. So right.
That's the whole purpose of this this podcast, is that sometimes reading the document doesn't explain the document.
We read the rules so you don't have to.
Exactly. We should get some kind of merch that says that reading the docs don't explain the docs.
Sometimes explain
the doc. Anyway, bribery. So,
let's read bribery here. So we're going to go through this and kind of like chat about different sections. The first one being, and I'm going to quote here, the decision to drop, concede, or agree to an intentional draw cannot be made in exchange for or influenced by the offer of any reward, or incentive. Nor may any in-game decision be influenced in this manner. Making such an offer or enticing someone into making an offer is prohibited and is considered bribery. Players may not make any offers to tournament officials in an attempt to influence the outcome of a ruling. Okay, unquote. You know it's dense whenever you have to use the word nor. All right, enough. So to me, this is what inspires all the judges during our penultimate rounds to make announcements like, we don't want you playing Rochambeau or Yu-Gi-Oh! No rock, paper, scissors to determine a game of Magic. Like, we've all heard that before, but like, this sentence or this paragraph is why we're saying it. Anything outside of a game is not okay.
Well, let's just hold on for a second, because the Rochambeau, Yu-Gi-Oh, rock, paper, scissors, that's all improperly determining a winner. Okay, bribery is like, you know, in exchange, we're making some sort of offer in exchange for, or we're scooping or drawing in exchange for an offer or a reward.
Hey, friend, I'll give you 20 prize packs if you let me have the wind.
Right. Or
I get the invite, you take the box.
Or one of the silliest bribery DQs was, hey, I got to go catch a bus. Give me $3 for bus money and I'll scoop to you.
Are you serious?
Yes. Okay.
Oh, boy.
The big thing there is if the exchange can be summarized by if X, then Y. Okay. If $3, then I scoop. If PAX, then I scoop. If bucks, if promo, then we draw, you know, stuff like that. And the other thing is, implied exchanges are still offers. Okay.
That's the influenced by verbiage.
Right.
Of this.
Right. I'm making an offer indirectly. Like that's not exactly a thing that you can take back. If the other person understands that there is an offer on the table, that's why we talk about there aren't really magic words. If you are trying to bribe your opponent, then we look at intent.
Mm-hmm.
I've told a story in the past where a player, the match was going to end in a draw. They were arguing over who would concede to who, and a player filled out the match slip in his favor, pushed it over to his opponent, and said, "I'm a gentleman." And the other player was like, looked at it, and signed the slip. And I DQ'd both of them for bribery. And it's like, why not? They didn't say anything. I was like, there's only one conclusion you can make when someone says, we were arguing, neither one of us were going to concede. I filled out the match slip in my favor and said, I'm a gentleman. That's implying an offer.
100%. No, that's solid. Because like, we include the no other games for improperly determining, because ultimately, either way, you're using something outside of the game. And this one, we're talking specifically bribery. You're going to get something of value. And another point is, it doesn't have to be cash. It doesn't have to be like prizes. It can literally be just something that has value to somebody conceivably. Like, if I'm giving you an offer for anything of value, that's enough.
Yeah, two friends, if it's we're going out to dinner afterwards and I say, scoop to me and I'll pay for dinner, then bye.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about what bribery is, and we got a little close when we talked about friends that might be going out to dinner. Yeah. But the next sentence is, it is not bribery when players share prizes they have not yet received in the current tournament, and they may agree to such before or during the match, as long as such sharing does not occur in exchange for the game or match result, or dropping the player from the tournament. Okay? So if all three of us are in a car driving to an event, and we agree in advance to split the prizes that we win, And it could even be whatever we win, that money goes to Charles to pay for gas, and then whatever left gets spent on dinner. That's fine. Also, if we are playing in the, you know, whatever round, and Marcos and I agree to split, like, let's say we're playing in a pre-release that awards like 8 packs for going 4-0 and 6 packs for going 3-1. Okay. And we agree to split 7 packs each. In that particular case, no one has scooped or conceded or anything like that. We've just agreed that that's how we're going to split things. Right. That's also fine.
Right. Yeah. And notably, there's no exchange offer there. You know, the car situation where it's like we all go to the same event together. All right. We're all pooling our winnings to cover part of the trip, expenses, whatever it is. There is no specific match that is being played and therefore no specific result that there is an exchange occurring for. Yeah. Right. Like, it's not like me and Brian meet each other in the finals and go, okay, well, you know, you drove here, so I'm going to scoop to you because of that, or something like that. It has to be more general than a specific match.
Yeah. Now, where things get a little dicey in this particular area is when we've all agreed to split the prizes, and Charles and Marcos are playing in a match where, if Marcos wins, there, and I'm just going to make up numbers to make the math easy. If Marcos wins, he's going to get $100. Whereas if Charles wins, he's going to get $50. And Marcos is going to get nothing. I'm just making up an imaginary prize structure. Okay. That means that from a pure maximum EV standpoint, okay, Marcos, it's advantageous to the group if Marcos wins, right? Over Charles. However, Marcos has to make that Charles has to make that determination on their own. The second it starts becoming, hey, if you scoop, hey, Charles, if you scoop, then we get more money. Okay.
Yeah, and let's face it, you know, there are a lot of players out there that are very smart. They're going to figure this out rather quickly.
Yeah. Right. And this might be a little bit where the talk about magic words come from, but there is a difference between you sitting there and realizing something that's advantageous to you, or Marcos realizing that something's advantageous to him and then acting on it, versus someone making the offer or someone pointing it out or someone using those facts to influence your decision.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this next part is the one that I probably had the most trouble with a number of years ago when I was first introduced to this topic. And it goes along these lines. It is not bribery when players in the announced last round of the single elimination portion of a tournament agree to a winner and how to divide the subsequent tournament prizes. In that case, one of the players at each table must agree to drop from the tournament. Players receive the prizes according to their final ranking.
Yeah.
This goes back to the fact that there were, and there still are, invites that are on the line, among other things. And sometimes players will play in a tournament and won't really want that invite, but they want to get as far as they possibly can.
What's funny about this particular statement is we're going to tell you what bribery is and tell you under no uncertain terms can you do it. And then we say in the finals, yeah. Okay. There can be a little bit of bribery there.
Right. Yeah. Now my son was playing in a tournament. He made it all the way to the final round. He looked at me and he said, "Hey, Dad, I really don't want the prize that's on the line." It was some kind of an invite. It was years and years ago. I said, "Okay, we'll just offer to give it to the other player." And I read the rules 3 times over. And I said, "And if you guys want to work out prizes after that, you can." So, you know, he gave it to the other player. And the other player was very kind in giving my son a fair amount of the prize pool, aside from the invite.
There you go.
It's the way things work.
Yeah.
So let's just talk a little bit about how this works. So this is the announced last round of the single elimination portion of the tournament. Okay, this is, generally speaking, the finals. Or
yes. The semifinals with two slotters, right?
Yeah, the semifinals in a two-slot RCQ when the prizes are the same. Like, if you are in an event where the first place prize and it's a two-slotter, but the first place prize and the second place prize are different, then you kind of have implicitly set up that the finals are the last round because you have to have a first place and you have to have a second place. So those people are playing each other. So if you were playing in a two-slotter, or if you were the judge of a two-slotter, you really want to talk to your TO about making the prizes the same. And don't have a lanyard, okay? Because no one wants to have to play for the lanyard. like realistically, if you're saying first place gets X and second place gets Y, you have to have a finals. So make sure that first place and second place both get X. Don't buy the lanyard. Or if your TO did get it, just make it disappear. But yeah, so the single elimination portion of the last round, and what we say is they can decide how to divide the subsequent tournament prizes. Okay, so you are able to talk about the invite. You are able to talk about the cash. You are able to talk about the packs in that prize pool. You can't bring anything external, okay, into that offer. You can just talk about what the subsequent tournament prize is. And then, once you've made that decision, one of the players must agree to drop from the tournament. This is where they get around the whole concession thing, because you don't actually concede to your opponent. The other player wins because you dropped.
Yeah, this is the fancy way of getting around. What can I say? It's not, because here you're not doing this arrangement in exchange for a result. I'm doing it in exchange to end the tournament because I'm dropping and there's one clear winner.
Right. And this is to your point where you said the word nor. It had a very lawyer speak. This is lawyer speak here.
Very much so.
Right. So now, what's funny enough is I don't think Event Link actually lets you declare a player as win by dropping. So it's kind of funny that when you report it, even if the players do everything correct, you got to go report the losses in Event Link. Okay. Oof. Yeah. Shocker. And the other thing is the player that stays in the tournament is the one that gets the invite. Like that should kind of be obvious. I don't know how it would work if one player would be like, no, I want to drop from the event, but I want to be the one that gets the invite. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, to Charles's point, this is to handle the case of I can't go to Atlanta. I can't go to Seattle. I can't go to wherever. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. And it's worded so, because it's worded in effectively lawyer speak, it's really easy to misinterpret because, you know, you could see this as just, oh, well, this clearly says I can do the thing that you just told me I can't do, except for that one little thing that says somebody has to drop, and that's what makes it okay.
Right. And another thing I just pointed out where we were saying, like, I can't go to Seattle, I can't go to Dallas. You can have those conversations during the finals because basically the entire prize pool is on the table. If you were to try and have a similar conversation in the semis or the quarters where you're telling your opponent, you're just looking at your opponent and saying, like, I'm not interested in the invite.
Oh, no.
Right. Again, you're making an implication there. Okay, the finals are different because there's no games after. Okay, you are not influencing the results of the tournament beyond anymore. There is no further progression of rounds. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So I'll read this next part because I kind of jumped ahead a little bit earlier to chat about this. But From the MTR, the result of a match or game may not be randomly or arbitrarily determined through any means other than the normal progress of the game in play. Examples include, but are not limited to, rolling a die, flipping a coin, arm wrestling, or playing any other game. So this is the Rochambeau, flip a coin, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon type of thing. You're playing in a tournament of Magic. You are playing the game of Magic, and not just any game of Magic, the game of Magic that you came here to play, the format you're assigned. You can't say, hey, let's do a quick, you know, pack wars to determine who wins.
Yeah.
If you signed up for a modern tournament, you are playing a match of modern with the deck you registered for the tournament. That's it.
All right. What next?
Players may not reach an agreement in conjunction with other matches. Players can make use of information regarding match or game scores of other tables. However, players are not allowed to leave their seats during their match or go to great lengths to obtain this information. Essentially, we want players to find a result through gamesmanship with each other, not by trying to figure out who has more points and why, and whether or not those points mean that you have enough points, or whether you need a tie for other points, or whether any other manipulation. Basically, you can't collude to win is what's really important here. And collude's a word that we don't see anywhere in the document, but that's what it's describing, among other things.
Yeah. If you look over at the table next to you and say, if we all draw, we're all locked. Okay.
Yeah.
That is making an agreement in conjunction with other matches.
Yep. Yep. And you can't sit there and play super slowly because the table next to you needs to have a result in your favor for you to know how to finish up your match.
That you is know? Going to great lengths to obtain this information.
Yeah. 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 You can't sit there and know that player A gives you a better breaker than player B. So, you know, you don't want to sit there and you know, just stall your game. And stalling is, of course, another issue within the MTR and the IPG. You can't stall. So you need to play your games at a reasonable pace. You can't base your outcome on what others are doing around you.
So that's stalling lowercase s. That's not stalling the infraction. Okay.
Right.
Because
depends on how slow you're playing.
stalling is playing slowly to take advantage of the time, basically to disadvantage your opponent.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. That's the okay. I'm playing okay. a control game and I'm okay. up one
I'm,
game.
I'm reading into policy a little too much. My fault.
Right. I mean, it's fine. Like here we're talking where we're saying like, you know, bribery is illegal, capital B. And then the finals were saying like, okay, here's how to do bribery with a lowercase b. Right. And then we're saying like, you can't stall, you know, you're not allowed to stall in this particular situation, lowercase s, but we're going to DQ, you know, for stalling, capital S. Here, it's just, hey, I need you guys to play, or you folks to play. And then you just watch and make sure that they're actually doing the thing.
And I have a personal story about this. In like an old PPTQ, there was a game where I was near the top and there was breakers. And basically, if one person won the match over, I knew I could get into top eight. If the other person won, then I was very, very hairy. And like, you know, my opponent, who happened to also be a judge, actually one of my mentors, was basically trying to like convince me and make sure that we were still playing at a reasonable pace, because if we were not, that's a problem. And the judge could absolutely come over and be like, I need you guys to focus on this. This is a problem. Or you're just doing this because you're watching the match next to you so closely to determine, oh, do you concede to me so that I can get the top eight in with this match?
Oh, this reminds me of a funny story.
So rough.
The players cannot reach an agreement in conjunction with other matches. There was an old, it was like States, or maybe it was a PTQ. The entire top eight went to the bathroom at the same time. Oh, and no. I remember just yelling at a judge to quick. I was like, quick, go to the bathroom. And he's like, what? I'm like, just go in the bathroom. The Toffee just went to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom and listen. And he's like, oh, okay. And so he just went to the bathroom and just stood there.
Oh, my God.
And then washed his hands and came out after enough of them came out. But the order to the judge was, quick, go to the bathroom. What?
Oh, man. New judge goals.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Players in the single elimination round of a tournament offering only cash, store credit, prize tickets, and or unopened product as prizes may, with the permission of the tournament organizer, agree to split the prizes evenly. Okay, so this is, you know, the whole typical, like, the top eight says, judge, can we split? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and note that list sounds really comprehensive, but it may not be. The point is that the prizes need to be able to split evenly, regardless of what they are.
Now here's where let me just caveat this though.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear what you thought you just heard, okay? Because when we say players in the single elimination round of the tournament offering only cash, store credit, prize tickets, and or open product may, with the permission of the tournament organizer, agree to split the prizes evenly. What you didn't hear was me say an invite.
Right. Hmm.
Okay, because the next sentence of that paragraph is, the players may end the tournament at that point or continue to play. All players still in the tournament must agree to this, must agree to the arrangement. Okay, this is basically, if the prize is just dollars, let's make it simple, just dollars. Then the players can say, we would like to split, and we're going to go on our merry way. This is the thing that Star City used to get around by calling it a prize restructuring, and saying, we will restructure the prizes if the players agree to it. Okay.
I have a funny story about this one. So, so Brian got to talk about his last weekend at the Hunter Burton. I'm going to talk about my same weekend where I was at a CEDH tournament for Misty Mountain Games. And there was a 10K CEDH event there. And one of the players approached the TO and was like, hey, I want to make sure, like, I'm not talking out of turn here, but, you know, is there a way that we can redistribute this or do a split and all that? And, like, first of all, I want to highlight here, with the permission of the tournament organizer is an important aspect of this. You can't just sit down at the table with the person across from you or, you know, in the top eight picture and all of you guys go, okay, we're splitting, right? And then tell the TO, this is what is happening. You have to talk to the TO directly or the judge who is representing the TO in the event. So in this instance, the player came over to me and was like, hey, I would like to restructure it this way. Is that okay? And I'm like, okay, cool. We can make an offer. The tournament organizer was there. We talked to them. They said, okay, cool. We can present this to everybody, but then we're going to make sure everybody agrees to this. If there's anybody who holds out, then we're going as advertised, and it continues that way. And it was handled super above board, really straightforward. But again, they had to include the tournament organizer, and they had to make it an even split all the way around.
So this is where the way judges behave and what we do and what the MTR says are not the same. Okay, if at an RCQ event, and I think your CEDH event was just cash, right?
It was a 10K. It was actually dual. It was for dual lands.
Okay, so non-fungible.
Correct.
Prizes.
Yeah, okay. There was no invite or anything like that.
So here's where things get a little when the prize is just cash and the players say, hey, we'd like to split evenly, the TO can split everything evenly, pay everyone out, and then the event can just end or they continue to play. If there are things for first place, you know, and it's different, it can be different, it's an invite or a dual land or something like that, there has to be a person who gets first place, because the TO published these prizes for first place. Imagine a situation where the players, okay, agree to split the cash, all right, and then they play out, and the TO hears this and helps facilitate that, and, you know, gives 5th through 8th more because they heard about the, you know, the prize split. And then the first place player comes up and is just like, okay, I want all my first place prize money. I won first place. And they're like, oh, but you had an agreement with those people over there. And the response is, yeah, that's my agreement with them, not yours. So give me my money for first place. Okay. You are, as a judge, when you facilitate one of these RCQ splits, you are putting yourself at risk. It's a low risk, but you are putting yourself at risk because if that first place player comes up and says, give me my first place prizes, please. Well, I mean, you did advertise that first place got X. What do? Now, where I say it's a low risk is, what are the odds that the player is going to push it? But you have exposed the TO to a risk. Now, if it's like an RCQ where the first prize is, you know, like $100 or something like that, it's not a lot. But if you were playing in a 15K where the prizes are, you know, first place is 5,000 or whatever, you know, someone might run that. So technically, when the players ask, can we split? The correct answer is y'all can split, but that's between you guys or you players. And where things get even funner is like at the RC, the prize money is mailed to the players after the event from like Wizards. I don't actually know who mails the money, but it's after the event. So, you know, in that particular case, the TO isn't going to facilitate any sort of split. Okay, the TO is not going to take responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. So you have to just trust the other person. All right. Is that horse beat enough?
Do we want to? Yeah, I think so.
All right. So that's, I guess there's two examples. They're kind of boring, but let's read them anyway.
Yeah, let's break them down and figure out why they work.
Before the semifinals of a tournament in which first place gets 12 packs, second place gets 8 packs, third and fourth get 4 packs each. Okay, so quick math, there are 28 packs in the pool. Before the semifinals begins, the players may get permission from the tournament organizer to end the tournament with each player receiving 7 packs. Okay, that works because it's fungible. There's no invite or anything like that. Everyone can get the same thing. Okay, this is not an RCQ. This would be like an FNM or that gives store credit or a pre-release or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other example we've basically beat up, but we'll just read it anyway. In the finals of a one-slot players tour qualifier that offers a travel award and an invitation to the winner, the two finalists may agree to split the tournament prizes, but this agreement cannot alter the results of the match. One player must drop from the tournament, leaving the travel award and the invitation to the player who did not drop from the tournament. That player is then free to split the remainder of the prizes as agreed upon. The travel award and invitation are a single item and may not be split. So... travel awards. Yeah, all remember those? I mean, that was a thing back in the day. The blue envelope, the travel award, the whole bit.
The funny thing is, that right there predates Players Tour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the example. Because that used to be a thing for the Pro Tour back before it was the Players Tour, before it was the Pro Tour again. So back in the good days...
Ask your parents, kids.
Yes. When you won a PTQ, you got an invite and a travel award to help get you to the event.
Mm-hmm. Special little blue envelope that everybody strived for.
Yeah, but notice, even in this example, there's still one player must drop for the event, leaving the travel award and the invitation to the player who did not, you know, drop from the event. They're not using the words winner and loser.
Nope.
All right. So that's the MTR. Now what's our IPG buddy say?
That's IPG section 4.4, bribery and wagering. That comes with a match loss. And effectively, this penalty is defined as you did something that you're not supposed to based off of the sections in the MTR that are 5.2, which is bribery, which we just went over, or 5.3, which is wagering. If you did it, well, you're getting a match loss. Stop it. If you did it intentionally, knowing that it's a thing you cannot do, that actually turns out to be cheating. So we're not really covering wagering too much because we're pretty confident that A, we can all recognize what wagering is, and B, I believe Brian pointed out that wagering is kind of not as a big a deal anymore.
I just, like, I remember there was on a stream, like on a Wizards official coverage, like two of the coverage people actually made a bet between themselves on the game. And it's just like, what are you doing,
people? Which, if you read number 5.3, wagering in the MTR, it says nobody involved in a game or spectators can wager on a match that is wagering.
Right, so, even if it's for like a sandwich, just yep. Come on. And I would like really kind of be impressed and horrified at the head judge that went into the booth and just TQ gave a match.
Try me. I would do that so fast if I heard that was happening and it was my event. I would do it just for the story, but yeah.
Yeah, no, and you would probably never work for that tournament organizer again.
I was there at an event where the head judge gave match losses for outside assistance to coverage.
Well, giving match losses is one thing because it doesn't actually remove them from the area, right?
Neither does DQing them. They can still be in the area.
Yeah, normally when you DQ a player, you ask them to leave. Mm. Normally. Actually, that's not true. That's only for DQs for aggressive behavior.
Yeah. Like I've DQ'd plenty of people and been like, you can still go play side events. You're just done this event, right?
Yeah.
But
fair.
Either way. Outside of disqualifying commentators or removing them from your event that you enrolled them into in the first place to remove them, whatever. Talking about wagering, another example that's in the IPG specifically talk about things that might seem otherwise innocuous that still fall under bribery and or wagering, including, for example, two spectators making a wager on something that's super trivial or that you might not even think matters. Like, for example, if you know, Brian is in the Pro Tour and near the finals, and me and Charles sit there and we're just watching the match. We're like, okay, how many games will it take to decide this match? I say Brian's going to get it in 3, and Charles goes, nah, it's going to take him 4. That is still wagering.
Well,
even though it's not something specific like who's going to win, it's still making a wager.
You're betting on an outcome of some kind.
But there's no actual bet. Just saying, like, I bet he does it in 2, and you're like, I bet he does it in 3.
Sure. And then I go, okay, $10 says 3.
Okay, there you go.
Now we're wagering. Right.
Now we're wagering.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It could be whether or not the next card drawn from a library is a land or a spell. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. When you put money or prize on the line, a sandwich, as Brian reminded us, is an item to be bet upon.
It is a thing of value.
It is a thing of value, especially if it's in New Jersey. It's a pub, so. You know, then it's a good sandwich and not one of those things from Subway.
Oh no, we're talking pub sub all the way.
Yeah, there you go. You have acclimated to Florida.
Oh, I knew about. Thank you, Matt Noonan, for hollering out about the majesty of pub subs way before I ever came to Florida.
There's a website called something like
Our Publix Chicken Tenders on Sale.com.
Yep, there you go.
I check it way more often than I'm willing to admit.
It's just a big yes or no that tells you if the subs are on sale.
And it's like a GeoCities animated look, too. It's so funny. I love that site so much.
Yep.
Friendly listeners, right. this Florida Love Fest will come to an end soon, and we'll continue on with the show.
Is it a love fest?
It is.
Is it a love fest?
It sounds like it.
It's really just a chicken from Publix.
Oh my! Like,
I have a respectful, healthy, deep platonic love for Publix chicken tender sandwiches.
I don't. Mine is not, very unhealthy.
Yours is not platonic.
Moving on, y'all. Let's talk about
y'all.
All right, so now it's time to have the talk. Perfect segue.
We're getting back to those bees that we mentioned earlier then, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Full circle. So, sit down, judges. Let's have the talk. And not that kind of talk. Not that. No. The talk I'm talking about is the talk when a player approaches you near top eight or in the last round and goes, hey, judge, help me commit crimes.
I'm just laughing because it's like when a player bribes another player very much.
Oh, boy, this has gone off the rails. And yep. It's all my fault and I don't care.
Yep. Okay, yeah. So a player wants to know what they can do and what they can say.
So I'd just like to ask everybody to chat about this. Like, how do you coach a player or do you coach a player? How do you approach that question when a player comes to you and goes, judge, how do I not get in trouble while still trying to get a result that I want?
I think the first thing that you do, though, is you say, okay, I'm going to give instructions on this. I don't want you to say anything else.
Yeah, sure. I'll often say, like, hey, if you have any questions, talk to me or ask me away from the table. Because right. if Marcos and I are playing and I call Charles over and I'm like, hey, what can I offer him in exchange for the win? And I'm asking this at the table.
And I'm asking this loud enough. Intentionally, so yeah, that you know, I'm being overheard.
Or not even intentionally, just I'm being stupid. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Hey, judge.
You can do crimes accidentally.
What can I... Yeah, you can accidentally bribe your opponent. Oops. I mean, you were kind of on purpose trying to do it. You just weren't thinking in terms of bribery. So it's very important where you are clear to the players... Hey, if you have any questions, we need to talk over yonder.
Yeah, not just away from the table. Out of earshot is my preferred language for that. Right. Like, if you want to talk about that, talk to a judge out of earshot of your opponent so that it is only you and the judge speaking and only you and the judge know what is being discussed.
Now if the players are super regular the meaning of the word that they come to the event regularly. And they say, judge, can we offer a split? You know, that kind of thing can be done at the table. Like, because there is no, like, that's just talking about the dollars involved. We're not talking about anybody conceding or anything like that. If it's just look around the table, y'all want a split? That's also not an agreement in conjunction with other matches because you're not actually agreeing on the results of any matches. And in that particular case, you know, yeah, if you want to facilitate that with a unanimous and an anonymous vote, that's fine. A lot of times someone will be like, I don't want to split. And you're like, okay, you want to be careful. You don't want players to like bully that one person. That's one of the reasons for doing it anonymous. But, yeah, okay, so the player has, however, they don't want to go... Let's pose this situation. I have made it into the top eight, okay? I cannot go to Dallas, all right? And I call you aside, or I go over to you and say, all right, I'm in the top eight. I can't go to Dallas, so what can I say?
Right. Well, why don't you want to go to Dallas? Dallas sounds like a fun town. I mean, really. sounds like a little bit of prejudice towards Dallas. I think Dallas's feelings are going to be hurt.
I mean, let Dallas's feelings get hurt. Okay. We're in the top eight. We're in the court. We're about ready to start the quarters.
Right. Right. And the prize for the big prize is going to the top eight. Is going to Dallas, right?
Yep. It's the RC invite to Dallas.
Keep playing and come talk to me right before the final round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a final round problem. And we really can't address it yet.
We can talk more about it later.
But I mean, can I, you know, what if I also want to go home? Like,
oh, you can drop anytime, player.
Yeah. Okay. I think
I'm you know pretty pretty.
Charles
okay
takes
with
the hard line
home.
On facilitating.
Yeah. Like I'd probably soften it a little bit, other than just like, all right, sucks to suck. But
I mean, he's not wrong with that approach, though. Like, while yes, it's not as like inherently helpful to the player to give them a strategy, he's also making sure he's protecting himself and not coaching them to say something that he's then going to have to DQ him for. Because another aspect of this is the player can absolutely misunderstand whatever it is you tell them, regardless of how well you phrase it or how specific you are about it, and then walk over and just talk themselves right into a disqualification.
Right. We can explain it a little bit better. We can sit there and say, player, the problem is that we can't actually discuss prize split because of the nature of the prize until we get to the final round. If you do need to go home early, if you want to go home early, I can't help advance that talk any faster. So I suggest that maybe you stick around and play one more round, see how it goes.
Okay.
See if you can get some prize support out that way. But we can't actually redistribute prizes, so that's where we're at. And I'd rather that you not talk about it with your opponents.
That right there, I would prefer if you not like save the I can't go to Dallas talk, like that mention, until the finals.
Right.
Because throwing that information out prior to the finals can actually have an influence.
In fact, it can have more than an influence. It can have a detrimental effect on the play and everything.
Well, that's the influence.
That's the influence, but it can be bad. The influence can be bad, not good influence.
Yeah. The other thing is you can say, okay, well, you know, if you're trying to get out of here, or you've got a ride that you got to catch, or some variation of that, is we can offer a split. However, what we can't do is make any offer in exchange for anything. Okay, so it can't be like, you give me a third and fourth place prize and I scoop, you know, or something along those lines. You can't do anything like that. And you can't make any sorts of a reference to the fact that you're not interested in the invite kind of thing. Now, granted, that's more of a talk for the final round, but you know, if you're trying to leave early.
You also can't even necessarily mention that your discussion right now is with the intention of you about to drop. Because if you say, hey, I'd like to offer a splitting of prizes here where, you know, you would get X and I would get X because I need to leave, you're not saying in exchange for my concession, will you give me this? But telling them that you're about to leave and you're about to drop strongly implies that.
Yeah. I want to split because I need to leave.
Yeah.
Is setting up a if then situation.
Correct. Because I think the important part here is when you're negotiating or when you're trying to discuss how prizes should be reallocated, redistributed, split up however you want, you need to do that independent of any information of who is doing what. Like, I'd like to propose a prize split of the winner gets A and the loser gets B. And then stop, no further discussion about who either one of us will be.
So let's go back to the very first sentence in the IPG definition of bribery and wagering. A player offers an incentive to entice an opponent into conceding, drawing, or changing the results, encourages such an offer, or accepts such an offer. Like, encouraging such an offer is, you know, the lines of, you know, boy, I really need to go home. If there was only some way that I could make that happen. You know, that kind of thing. And then the opponent's like, well, I could give you my, you know, my third place prizes, and then you could scoop to me, and then you could go home.
Yeah, there's no reason why you can't sit there and tell a player, before you go and talk to that other player about this concession, tell me exactly what you're going to tell them.
Yeah.
Because if they tell you, and they tell you in such a way that it's very clearly that they're bribery or they're doing something else, hey, we're having this conversation now between the judge and the player, and we're away from the table and the whole nine yards. We can sit there and tell them, you cannot say this. I will find you having violated the MTR or the IPG. You will be issued a bribery. It will, you know, whatever. We can prevent the train wreck if they talk to us.
Yeah, that's a good way to go home if you just get a match loss in top eight.
The thing is, there's two parts to these types of discussions, and let's run through the chain. There is like the offer to split prizes. As we said earlier when we were talking about bribery, it is feasible, it is logical, it is allowed for two players to say, one player to say, I would like to split, and the other person to say, I also would like to split. Now we have an agreement, okay? It is also not a problem to say, I concede to you. That's also allowed. Players can concede at any time. It's when they start getting linked that causes the problem. Now, so you can have a conversation of, I would like to split prizes with you. And then once you agree, once Charles agrees, I then say, I would like to drop, okay? Or I concede. That's fine. You can also do, I concede. Would you like to split prizes? You can do that. That's allowed. Doesn't make any sense, but it's allowed. Yeah.
You're way disincentivizing the opponent, but I mean, that's kind of the point, right? Like there should not be an incentive for the opponent now, to agree to this because of that action.
Now, when splits are normally assumed 50-50. Now, if I'm in the quarterfinals or something along those lines, and I say, like, I'd like to propose a prize split. Loser gets 90%. That is looking a whole... That's starting to look a whole lot like where we were talking about, like, implications and stuff like that.
That's tying a result. That is tying a result to pricing.
Well, it's...
Because you're saying what the result is going to be, and you're saying what the prize is going to be.
Well, you're not saying who wins and who loses, okay? But you're creating
strongly indicate
we're going to have a conversation.
And that's what I'm pointing at is you can say like winner gets 40%, loser gets 60%, you know, something like that. That's fine-ish, you know, but when you start heavily weighting it. The fact that you are saying, you're not saying who the loser is. You're not saying I will do this or I will scoop if you give me this. But you are creating a situation where, yeah, it's pretty obvious that that's what you're doing.
If you say loser gets 90%, and then you say I concede,
right? You were just you basically just were like, hey, I'm proposing you bribe me.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's no bueno. We're going to have a problem.
Right. So I'm pointing out, judges, you get to use context, okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And players, judges get to use context. All right.
Okay. So how do you facilitate a secret voting split, and why does it have to be done in secret? I want to take the second half of the question first, and then we can talk about how to actually do it. The reason you have to do a voting split in secret when it's more than just the two players, basically. Do you do it with just two players? I don't think you do. Let's say you're entering in top eight. There's no grand prize on the line of a invite or something like that. It's just cash or packs or whatever.
Yeah. It's an 8K with a top eight.
And you have one or two players interested in... splitting, and you have the conversation with the TO, and the TO is okay with prize redistribution so that it's all even. How do you determine or you go through a process by which you want to make sure that it is fair so that no one feels pressured to accept the outcome, that most of the players are leaning towards. So why does it have to be done in secret? It's done in secret to prevent any feelings of pressure, peer pressure, anything along the lines of being cornered into accepting what the group wants. There could be seven players that very much want to split. There could be one player that's deeply uncomfortable with it or just likes to play for the prizes. And that one player or whoever, that one player does not need to feel like they are being pushed into accepting the split. So
I want to add a layer on top of that, though.
Yep.
Or an intermediate layer. Like, for example, at the RCQ I had just this weekend, players asked, can we split? And I was just like, and I looked around the room and I was like, y'all want to have a poll or have a vote? And one of the players was like, I don't want to split. Okay, done.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't, it doesn't have to be done in secret. What I would look at is propose it as, we're going to do a secret, would y'all like to do a secret vote? And then what happens is if a player doesn't care about the social pressures at all, it's just going to be like, nope, I want the money.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, you just saved yourself three minutes.
Some time. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and you know what? The whole process really doesn't take long either because you can do it like a couple different ways. You can do it with everybody fills out a little piece of paper and drops it in a hat. And then you can sit there and open up all the pieces of paper and the one that's folded 30 times.
You've got a hat.
Nobody has a hat in RCQ. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry. Or you can use the box from a game that's nearby. Okay, whatever.
Or you could
just sit there and look at the players and say, on the count of three, I'm going to ask for everybody to raise your hand. And if you don't raise your hand right away, we're done. You know, you can make it so it's an instant thing. So long as you're doing it in a manner that is fair and in a manner that does not exert undue pressure on any one person, it should be fine.
Yeah, the secret voting method really helps for giving that player who may be feeling, for example, like social anxiety or just not want to be the one that goes against the group. You're giving them the out to have their wishes taken into account without having to deal with the social pressure, without having to deal with the possible like repercussion or the nasty looks or whatever it might be that they don't want to deal with. So I personally love the secret voting for that. It just makes it easier to not have to worry about, oh, do you feel brave enough to say no? Or do we have to go about it a different way?
One thing though, I would not stress a whole lot about trying to hide the fact that you got results. Like get a sheet of paper, tear it into eighths. They're not going to all be the same size. Don't sweat it a whole lot. Collect them all up, shuffle them around, shuffle them in your hand and then just read them off. And, or even better, you don't have to read them off. You just flip through and look for the no, and then just say it was not unanimous.
Yep.
And then carry on you're not saying like seven votes for yes, one vote for no, just it wasn't unanimous. So
does the motion pass?
Do your thing.
Great.
So and like I said, a lot of times there will be a player who does not want to do that, will just be like, I don't want to waste that time doing that. No, I want the dollars.
Risk it for the biscuit.
Yeah. Now, another question we have on here is talking about, like, what is the default that most judges will go towards, or what are some of your best practices for even just, like, how to broach the topic with players? For example, I'm pretty, I would say, almost aggressive with interjecting into conversations that happen near top tables, or maybe just proactive is the way to say it, because at the top tables in the final rounds, I'm very proactive about, making sure that I'm seen, making sure that I'm reminding players, hey, don't offer anything in exchange for a result. Like just that one sentence is something I'm always pounding on. Do not offer anything. Doesn't matter, because if you say anything of value, well, then you're taking their subjective point of view of like, is something valuable to me versus you? Into account. I'm just saying, don't offer anything in exchange, period.
Right.
Some people are just like, don't say anything to your opponent unless you talk to a judge first. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but like, there's different levels of invasiveness that you might want to feel, or that you might feel is okay, because you're just so trying to help players avoid dumb mistakes, really. Because players are not trying to get match losses or DQs from a tournament. They just make dumb mistakes because they don't know better, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of times the mistake that they make is they'll make some, they, when they make a mistake, they will make an offer and they won't realize it's an offer. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's kind of why the penalty got changed to a match loss instead of a DQ for the first time. Okay. Because it's the whole, I need to lead, give me a pack and I'll scoop. That's just pretty innocuous, innocuous isn't the right word, but that's a really easy mistake to not necessarily think about, especially when you've seen top eights or seen final rounds where people have made these type of bargains and these type of agreements. It's not necessarily a thing that you would realize can be done in the finals, but not in the top eight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now let me ask this. Why such a harsh penalty? Why a match loss or a DQ? Why not a game loss or a warning or something along those lines?
I mean, at that point, the integrity of that match is kind of ruined once that offer has been made. Like, you can't unring that bell once it's been made, because now if you allow them to play at all, that offer could still be hanging out there between the two players, even though you said, oh, no, you can't do that. But then all of a sudden the player like draws a land and bolts themselves. And it's like, well, no, you can't do that either. But they're within their rights to, like, there's no more integrity to that match at that point.
Yeah.
It goes beyond that too. I mean, that's a really good point. That's a good part of it. But another part of it is you can't sit on top of that match the whole time and make sure that there isn't further shenanigans. You know, you're going to have to walk away. You're going to have to take a call. You're going to have to deal with paperwork. You're going to have to talk to another judge about a situation eight tables over, and you're going to be distracted. You know, the integrity of the match is now completely altered, but it's also altered in such a way that you cannot make it, return it to any sense of normalcy by your presence.
Also, the bribery often happens at particular points in the tournament where that person's not going to be in the tournament anymore if it doesn't go their way, right? Like, think of the last round of Swiss. There is no penalty that you can give that player to disincentivize them to make a attempted bribery, you know, except match loss, because a match loss is essentially, in that particular case, a match loss and a DQ are effectively the same thing, right? The event is over for that person.
Yeah.
There is, So it's got to be strict, because if it's not, there is no disincentive to do it.
Yeah. But it also allows somebody who's in, like, you know, halfway through the event and they come to the end of their round and then try and just like make a dumb bribe that gets overheard by a judge, it still lets them play in the rest of the event. They just lose that match and you move on. Now, it's not often that happens, but it could potentially.
Let me ask this question, because there've been some people that have been judges for a very long time, or they've been players for a very long time. Marcos, you're playing against Charles. Okay. And Charles says something along the lines of, the match is a draw, okay? And Charles says, you know, it'd be really great. I'd be really, really grateful if you'd give me this match, you know? And just as like putting a little spin on the word grateful.
Maybe giving a little wink at Marcus as I say it.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Like, sure. a little seductive winky wink.
I didn't say seductive.
No,
you're inserting like, you're inserting this, body language that doesn't exist yet.
I'm let just this saying, Judge hey, Cast you know, fanfic exist.
Gosh.
Oh, no.
What?
So what's happening
Send us an email. Let me ask my question. Marcos, what is your responsibility?
To raise my hand and call for a judge and tattle.
And tattle? That's your responsibility? Okay, what happens if you don't?
You are complicit.
Am I?
I would say so.
I haven't offered anything.
Oh, you've absolutely offered.
I haven't offered anything. Judge, I have not offered anything. I just told him I would be grateful.
No.
I haven't offered anything. Keep in mind. He would have my gratitude.
This is where I said old judges. We used to hold, if you were made an offer and you did not report it immediately, you were also DQ'd. That changed.
Yeah.
That is no longer the case. You
did it. I must have missed that. Holy cow.
Yes. Marcos, your responsibility is to decline. You can call a judge and you can report it, and Charles will get his match loss and you will get the win, but your obligation is to decline the offer.
Yeah, you're right, because I'm looking at the text for it now and it says, encourages such an offer or accepts such an offer. And I remember that distinctly as having been written in the old days as, or does not call attention to an offer to a judge or something like that.
Yep. And this is a big thing, because people didn't realize, you know, Charles making the offer that he was would make the offer, and then the player would just be like, nah, I'd rather just play it out. And then a minute later, a judge would swoop in and be like, I have a report that there was a bribery here. Both players need to get DQ'd, blah, blah. And Marcos, in that particular situation, would be like, I didn't do anything wrong. I told him no.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's also the Marcos going, no, you know, like declining in a way that's clearly an acceptance.
No,
you know?
I would never do that. And then patting my eyelashes kind of thing.
Now he did that seductively.
This is getting so weird.
I want it on the record that was done seductively.
Right. Hey, I have great eyelashes.
I don't know what's happening. I'm not comfortable anymore. Like, you're going with my joke, and I'm the one. I'm gonna, you know.
Hey, don't no.
Nope. I'm out. I'm tapping out of that. Anyway. Yeah. So you can say no. In a way that implies yes. But if you say no in a way that explicitly says no and implicitly says no, then you, the player, are protected. Now, you can choose whether or not you call a judge. We, the hosts of JudgeCast, would very much like you to call a judge, because we would like people that attempt bribery to leave our events very quickly. Mm-hmm. But if you are worried about the social pressures and are worried about being that guy or winning that way, then you can just decline.
Yep.
Right. And you make us sad a little bit, you know. Yeah. Think about us pressuring you. Like, don't you want to make us happy?
Don't you want to make Charles fill out paperwork? Please let Charles fill out paperwork. He likes paperwork.
Yeah. Because we're DQing Charles in this scenario. And so Charles has to write down
a report, you know, what happened and why it really wasn't a DQ, and those terrible judges are impugning my honor.
Right. And then I have to actually write the report where I have to explain in detail what these winks looked like. And nobody wants that.
Now that's the fanfic that's coming our way.
Keep it up.
Just meet a copy me right of that up. DQ it's gonna report.
Happen. Keep it up. It's going to happen. Copy.
That's terrible.
Oh, all man. Right.
I think that would be a sign that we made it, though, right? If that is a
thing. That's...
Yeah.
If there was fanfic. Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anybody out there has to actually do this. You know, we're just being silly. What other questions do we have that we need to cover before we're done with this topic? Because there's one here. I'm not entirely certain what it is.
Which one?
The bubble one? Yeah.
So... I guess that one is more a follow-up of, like, okay, how do you talk to a player about how to handle that conversation. And then does the way that you're talking to a player about what they can and cannot do change if, for example, the player is on the bubble for top eight and looking to figure out if they can draw or get a concession, et cetera, to the end? Or if a player is locked for top eight and they're trying to encourage their opponent to intentionally draw or something like that, like, does their standings in the event affect how you talk to them about it? Does the place you are in the event affect how you talk to them about it? Things like that. I think we kind of heard some of that, but
yeah, I'm going to want Brian on this, but I think for the most part, it doesn't change how you talk to them about it. I think it changes how you watch what happens next, depending on their placement. Like if they're really trying to get in there, if they're on that cusp, if they're just right there, you want to try and pay attention to what they're doing next to make sure that they're not trying to manipulate something in their favor. I think you're still giving them the same instructions though.
Right. Like give the instructions and then as they go back to the table, go with them, hear them ask the question, opponent declines, yeah, let's say, and then you just kind of step in and go, cool, that's that. Enjoy your game of Magic. Please start playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. In like a very much get it going. That's it for the talk. Nothing beyond that.
So historically, an interesting thing, we used to send players or used to send judges to the pairings board in like the final round when we would post standings. We would send judges to the pairings board to like listen for talks, you know, to see if there were any bribery type talks. But now with things at people's, you know, standings going to people's phones, those conversations can pretty much happen anywhere. Okay.
Right. But and oftentimes the players don't know, we may not know who they're playing. I think a lot of them go to the table now and they have that discussion.
And they have that conversation at the table. Right. Yeah. So you don't have to go to the pairings boards anymore. You just go to the tables and camp out there and listen. Yeah. And another little bit in the last round of Swiss or the second to last round of Swiss, if players are sitting there talking about their standings and whether or not they can or can't draw, you can ask them, hey, I need you folks to start playing. Like, make a decision or play. I don't care which, but do one or the other. Quit doing the talky talk.
Quit doing stuff. The dance.
Right. So you can get them going. Yeah, so there you go. That's
bribery.
That's bribery. Wagering. Wagering is splits. Is just like, hey, don't do wagering. Splits is fine. And you can reassess. Like, you don't have to do splits just at the top eight. Like, players might say, hey, can we split top eight, the dollars? And you do your little survey and someone says no. That answer might change again with the top four. Again, I would let one of the players initiate this. I understand that you're a judge and you're wanting to be helpful, but per the MTR, strictly speaking, we don't do when there's invites on the line and the prizes aren't the same. We do not facilitate that. And that is this whole section on bribery was written and approved by lawyers. So yes, they're using lawyer speak and lawyer technicalities, but you are allowed to, you know, the TO is allowed to do that prize restructuring stuff when it's only whatever that word is.
Fungiferous?
Hey, I'm a fun guy. Wait, what were you talking about?
Fungible.
Fungible.
When there's only fungible prizes easily right. distributed and divvied up.
That's what I meant, yes.
Yeah. Are you wrong for doing it? Like, if you're helping the players and saying, like, doing these little votes and stuff like that, is it wrong to do that? No, asterisk. It's not technically what the MTR says, and you are exposing yourself to risk. So the technical, precise book answer is no, don't do it. But we realize the fact that you're going to help, you know, you became a judge because you want to run good events and you want to help the players and you don't really want to be like all lawyery pedantic-y.
And you don't want to fill out DQ paperwork for eight people.
Sure. But you are exposing yourself to a little bit of risk. You're exposing the TO to a little bit of risk. And if there's one thing you don't want, it's me exposing myself.
Hey-o.
What has this episode turned into?
I don't know. Just wait for the bumper at the end.
Anyway.
Anyway, do we have anything else for the good of the order for bribery, wagering, and splits?
I think we've beaten that.
Going once, going twice. Sold. All right. That's our episode. Join us next time when we reveal our video version of the podcast. No, we're not. We're not doing that yet. Not yet. Maybe. Who knows? What's that? Whatever. But we are going to do a 2.5 to 3 hour review of Cowboy Outlaws while wearing only cap. No, we're not doing that either. No, no. There are notes here and I am just not reading them. There's something about OnlyFans. You're just bailing on that? It's not happening. It's not happening.
Wow.
We already did enough tonight.
Why are you trying to make him say words?
Yeah, I know, right?
All
right.
In all honesty, I wrote all that way before any of the shenanigans that happened in this episode.
But still, things went sideways, and we cannot we cannot go any further. Okay. Our
outro is now redacted.
Yes. Until then, you can send us an email at judgecast@gmail.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at JudgeCast and on Blue Sky at judgecast.bsky.social and check out any of our social media for invite links to our Discord server for judges new and old, fans, and anyone who supports the judging community. I'm Charles Featherer and I keep it fair.
I'm Marco Sanchez and I keep it fun.
I'm Brian Prilliman and I keep it exposed. Wink. But here's the thing. That was a Ghostbuster reference.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Oh, yeah.
If there's one thing you don't want, it's us exposing ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, we got to slip in the Ghostbusters reference at least once every 15 shows.
Right.